God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Hebrews 5. Jesus, during the days of his flesh on earth, offered up prayers and heartfelt beseechings with loud cries of anguish and with tears to him who is able to save him from death, and he was heard. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, the God for whom nothing is impossible is crying. Today we're going to look at the day Jesus cried. God's word tells us there were at least three times that Jesus cried. There probably were more from all of the sufferings and death Jesus saw and endured, but we know at least three events that caused Jesus to cry. In John 11, Jesus wept over the death of his dear friend Lazarus. John 11 says, Jesus wept. He's not crying because he has no power over death. He does. He will soon bring Lazarus's body back to life. But he's crying because he never wanted death to touch our lives at all. Yet, in his weeping, we find a welcoming shoulder on which we can lay our tears when we face the death of a loved one or our own death. For no matter how wounded we may be, you and I cry to a Savior who has been wounded too and conquered the wounds. Yet even when we cry, the Lord reminds us in Psalm 56, he gathers all our tears in his bottle, and they are precious to him. And 1 Thessalonians 4, we do not sorrow like those who have no hope, for Christ is risen. And now that Jesus has risen, our sorrows are neither hopeless nor endless. Secondly, we see Jesus crying on Palm Sunday. But unlike Lazarus, who was a believer, this time Jesus is weeping over those who are lost in sin. As Jesus approached Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Luke 19 says, when he saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known, who would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes, for you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. These are real tears for those who are lost in their sins. God is a giver, not a forcer, and he will not force his kingdom on anyone. You can refuse it and lose it. And yet it breaks Jesus' heart for anyone to go to that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth called hell. May we, like Jesus, wet our pillows with tears as we pray fervently for the salvation of those who are lost. And thirdly, we see Jesus crying in Hebrews 5, our text today. It says, Jesus, during the days of his flesh on earth, offered up prayers and heartfelt beseechings with loud cries and tears to him who could save him from death. Now, you get the impression, by the way it reads, that Jesus oftentimes offered up prayers with loud cries and tears. But at the very least, we believe this refers to Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, since it adds the phrase, to him who could save him from death. So what's our sin? Perhaps we don't cry enough over sin and its consequences. Our world, and maybe we, laugh at sin, praise sin, flaunt sin. Romans 1 says we even invent ways of sinning. Perhaps we should be weeping over our sin and the sin of others, since the wages of sin is death. Paul says in Philippians 3, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shamefulness. Their mind is set on earthly things, and their destiny is destruction. And it brings Paul to tears. We live in a world where it's bad to be good, and it's good to be bad. People now announce on Facebook who they're shacking up with, or how many people they've become one flesh with, rather than sorrowing over our sins that killed God's Son, and without repentance will kill us too. Jeremiah 6 says, "My people have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush over their sin. So they will fall with the fallen." 2 Corinthians 7, "Godly sorrow leads to repentance that leads to salvation." When God's word says in Joel 2, "Rend your hearts and not your garments," the point is, without heart-rending repentance, there's hell to pay. Perhaps you and I don't cry enough over our sins. But then there are other times we weep for the wrong reason. We listen to the devil's lie that God could never love us or forgive us, and it leads many to break in despair. But it's all a lie, a sham. The devil's shooting blanks. He's all out of ammo. Not only can God forgive you, he already has 2,000 years ago when the Son of God bled to death on a cross one Good Friday. And not only does God love you, he never stopped loving you. Rather than despairing in hopeless, in repentant sorrow, turn to the Savior who already turned to you and is in a forgiving kind of mood and wants to forgive you. As Jesus heads to Golgotha, he's crying over the suffering, death, and hell that our sins have brought on us. He's weeping over those who are rejecting the grace of God that is already theirs. And he cries in anguish as he prepares to be forsaken by his Father for the first time in eternity. Jesus knows, as Hebrews 10 says, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus is anguishing as he realizes he will be forsaken by his Father to that hellish place of tears. In Mark 14, Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death," which leads us into what is happening in Hebrews 5. He, Jesus, offered up prayers and heartfelt beseechings with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Jesus is crying on Maundy Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane because he knows the betrayal, the kiss, and the denials that are coming. Michael Carr delves into Jesus' agony when he writes, "Why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? And why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for? Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend comes close enough to ever cause this much pain." Jesus is crying because he knows the mocking, the laughing, the crown, and the thorns. Again, Michael Card writes, "And why did it have to be a crown of thorns pressed upon his head? It should have been a royal crown made of jewels and gold instead. It had to be a crown of thorns because in this world that those who reject the love of Christ, a thorn is all that they have to give." And finally, Jesus is crying because he knows the nailing, the railing, the wailing, and the cross. Finally, Michael Card writes, "And why did it have to be a heavy cross Christ was made to bear? And why did they nail his hands and feet? His love would have held him there. It was a cross, for on a cross a thief was supposed to pay. Jesus came into our world to steal every heart away. And so Jesus goes with his disciples to Gethsemane and Golgotha to cry and to die. You see, either Jesus cries in Gethsemane and dies on Golgotha's cross, or we cry and die in that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth called hell. Knowing this, Jesus willingly goes to Gethsemane, which means the place of crushing, to cry, and to die. This is now 0 hour, so let the crying and the dying begin. Hebrews 5 says, Jesus offered up prayers and heartfelt beseechings with loud cries and tears. The Greek word for Jesus' crying does not mean a single tear running down Jesus' cheek. The Greek word means to sob profusely. The Gospel of Mark adds, Jesus kept on falling on his face in prayer. The first word off of Jesus' lips is Abba, which is often the first word off of the stammering lips of a frightened child. Abba is the most tender form of affection from the heart of a little child screaming to his daddy in the darkness for help, as if we were having a nightmare. Only this was no dream. One of my seminary professors on a trip to the Holy Land saw a little Jewish boy get in trouble, and he was about to receive a spanking from his father. The little boy was crying, Abba, 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 Abba. Jesus is now crying, Abba, because of the full-blown judgment he's about to receive from his father for our sins. So he cries out with loud cries and tears, Abba, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Those are the words of a frightened child crying and pleading, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. Normally, when a father hears those kind of cries, he takes his child into his arms to rescue or save him from the pain. Not this time. Not this time. Luke 22 adds, and being in anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood. Sweating blood is actually a real medical condition called hematidrosis. It's a very rare event and takes place under the most extreme anguish. What happens is that the blood vessels around the sweat glands rupture, pouring their blood into the sweat glands, causing its victim to literally sweat blood. This rare condition is at times observed in war, when a soldier is going into a fierce battle, or before their execution. Jesus is now sweating blood on the front lines of the war to save sinners, and on the night before his execution for our war crimes. If you never thought about it before, Jesus is already bloody by his anguish in Gethsemane before anyone laid a hand on him. In this battle, before the battle of the cross, Jesus cries out with tears, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And our text adds, he was heard because of his reverent submission. But the Father who heard him answered his son's prayer, you have to die. There is no other way. We know that Jesus is sobbing profusely. And I've always wondered, to be quite honest, if the Father is now crying too. And so, with blood, sweat, and tears rolling down Jesus' face, he now resolves in Hebrews 10, I have come to do your will. and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all. At this point, having resolved to do the Father's will and die, the Father sends an angel from heaven to strengthen Jesus for the battle of the cross. Michael Card puts it like this: the angels appear, they come to the garden, clothed with sighs, for they realize that the one they've adored from the start must now be broken apart by the ones that he came to save. So they're here, simply now to be near, so he's no longer alone. They sit with Christ and groan. In a sense, Gethsemane was the battle before the battle of Golgotha. And if Jesus lost the battle in Gethsemane, there would be no cross, no forgiveness, and you and I would forever go to that place of weeping called hell. In other words, the blood, sweat, and tears that flowed from Christ's wounds on the cross were preceded by the blood, sweat, and tears that flowed down Christ's face in Gethsemane. As Jesus suffered in Gethsemane, the agony of a death every bit as painful as physical death. Already in Gethsemane, Jesus died the agonizing, emotional, gut-wrenching death of his will to live, so that we sinners would be able to live off of his death. The next day, Jesus cried out again, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because he did, you and I will never have to cry those words. For we will never be forsaken by God unless we forsake him. Since Jesus cried out, Abba, not my will, but thine be done, and then died, we can now call God our Father, our Abba, with delight. Isaiah 53 declares it was God's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer and to make his life a guilt offering for sinners. And now that Jesus' frightened, stammering lips have already cried out, Abba, 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 before he was judged for our sins, you and I can call God Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father, with no fear at all, as we have now been made holy and have been given total access into the Father's family through the blood of the Lamb, with the promise of living forever in heaven, where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.